This soundbite of The Unwind is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/rolltohit. Anyway, let's move on to our last topic of
Final
the week.
Topic.
So this happened today, like hours ago, but by the time this comes out, it'll be earlier in the week. So the term iPad killer gets thrown around really frequently. Like every year there seems to be a device that's released that's either the iPhone killer, you know, something that takes Apple off their throne, right?
Yeah.
And today or this week, Microsoft announced the Surface 3, which is kind of interesting timing because Sean and I, you know, we were talking about this and that Windows 10 comes out within 4, 5, 6 months. So they didn't wait for that.
They couldn't wait.
So, which the Surface Pro 4, I'm sure. But anyway, so previously Microsoft had two lines of their tablet devices, right? They had the Pro, which is full Windows, you know, basically a full laptop on their tablet device. And then they had just the regular RT version.
RT.
Yeah, which, you know, for all intents and purposes was a complete disaster. Like they just...
I heard they lost a little bit of money on that one.
Yeah, everything, like, it was not marketable. There were so many things wrong with that. I mean, the biggest thing was that there was no ecosystem. Nobody wanted to develop for it, so there were no apps, and, you know, not to mention a whole other range of issues. But anyway, so the Surface 3 was announced at that $500 price point, which rivals, you know, the iPad Air and other tablets, but it's being released with full Windows, which is interesting because you're getting a low, like something half as expensive as their normal full Windows device.
Yeah.
But in that same type of form factor, it's a little bit smaller than the Pro version. I think it's a 10 inch screen instead of a 12, I believe. So,
and it's thinner and lighter.
It does have, like, you can buy the pen with it. I think it's still a mistake that they're not bundling at least the keyboard. I think that's absolutely absurd that it's another $100. So, I mean, realistically, this is, you know, a $600 device and not a $500 device.
And just to be clear, so this is, they're running on the new Intel Atom, it's the Cherry Trail chip. Yeah. So these are, I guess, x86. They're not ARM, so they can run any Windows program.
Yes.
Normally.
So that said, though, given the specs of the device, I mean, obviously, you know, not too many people have had too much time with this yet, so we don't really have benchmarks that we can go off of. But I mean, it's hard to believe that you'll be able to run any intensive application. So it's a little bit deceptive in the way that they're marketing this.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think you're not going to be able to do photo editing to a large degree or video
editing.
Or at least
you're not
going
to want to.
Right. So my question is, you know, do you see this as something that can rival the iPad? Who's the market for this? You know, what are the problems you think it's going to run into?
They're looking at me because I use iPad. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I think not that RT was a success by any means, but I like the concept of them offering a new operating system for this tablet device. When they go back, it feels like backtracking to take it to Windows 8 and then eventually 10, because...
Which has kind of been the story of Microsoft in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you talk about the Xbox One rollout is nothing but back,
yeah,
rolling back.
I mean, everything since Windows 7, basically.
But the idea, you know, I'm not convinced that Windows 10 and right now Windows 8.1 will run in a nice way on a machine with those specs. You're talking about, you know, a high density pixel screen. Mm-hmm. I know it's smaller, but it's... But, you know, it's got a touch screen on there, and I'm not convinced it's going to be a snappy, zippy, holistic feel and experience to it. Whereas if I tell somebody, or if I say, hey, you know, go get the iPad Air 2, I know that for the next 2 years, it's going to feel fast as hell. Mm-hmm. Anything that you can buy in the App Store, right, or download for free, it's going to feel really good. And probably in the third or fourth year, it might slow down a little bit, but it's still going to be pretty functional. Mm-hmm. I'm running with my iPad 2 right now, yep, and that's a really old device. And I'm running the latest operating system. And that's because when they developed it specifically for a tablet mobile operating system on a chip, you know, they took into account energy conservation, RAM conservation, all this stuff. And when they have people develop for it, they're developing for it with that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, so to say that, yeah, you can run anything Windows on this Surface 3, yeah, but I'm not going to run Photoshop on it right out of the box. It's not going to be able to run everything that's out there. And so it's kind of disingenuous, right? Like for the average user to just say, oh, I can get this and it's going to work on all my Windows stuff. It's going to work.
Right.
With that said, the average user probably isn't going to be running Photoshop on a, you know, on that type of device. But it's just – it's frustrating to me that they're mixing their messages. Sean, you look like you want to say something.
Well, so this is not the exact same thing, but I was wondering what's now that I think about it, what's the new MacBook running on? Because they're going fanless, which and they're using an Intel chip, and I'm pretty sure the only fanless Intel chip is this series, Cherry Trail.
It's Broadwell. It's Broadwell. So so that's Atom. This is Core. So sorry, I'm saying this and that. So Surface 3 is running Atom.
Yeah,
and the new MacBook is running Core.
It is Broadwell, but yeah. I don't think it's Core. I think it's a different one, isn't it?
No, it is Core because they have an M series. It's like it used to be their UV ultra low voltage or whatever.
Yeah,
but
Core
so it's the M series.
Right.
It's underpowered. With Apple knowledge. No doubt, it's underpowered. It's you know, it's got specs similar to the
2955U. Well,
no, I was going to say the late 2013 MacBook Air.
Oh, okay.
Right? So as far as specs go, it's like an older MacBook Air.
I think it's less powerful than that.
Less powerful?
Like a, you mean...
Than a two-year-old MacBook Air?
Yeah, Core i5? I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah.
I've seen the benchmarks. Like it's.
Oh, they already have benchmarks?
Yes, it's comparable to...
Because I thought it was more similar to the iPad. But... anyway, back to the Surface. Not to be Debbie Downer, but I kind of feel I have similar things that I don't really know where this Surface fits in. And I think one difference is – so the iPad, there is only one device that you can get that runs iOS bigger than an iPhone, and it's the iPad. The Surface is Windows on a hybrid tablet. So there's the thing is if you're a consumer, well, it's like, okay, maybe I should just – get a laptop. Maybe I should. So there's, and I know Windows and Microsoft has gone all in on this hybrid form factor, and I think it's really resonated with some people. The people who like it love it, but I know there are some really diehard people that really love it, but I don't think it's resonated with the broader audience. So then you really get into this situation where you're like, well, is there an advantage to getting this over just another laptop? Even though, I mean, the Surface is really well built. I don't think it's ever gotten that rapport in the way a MacBook Air has, in that being just this high quality, awesome device. And because of that, I don't really know where it fits. I mean, you could, I mean, I think regular people will probably just get a laptop or maybe even a Chromebook. And then people who need more power will get a different one.
I think it's aimed at people looking for a tablet. I mean, if you're looking at side by side, the iPad Air versus Surface, I mean, they put the same exact price point, right? You're basically all the things that's stacking up, they're saying like, oh, we have 64 storage instead of 16 gig, right? That you get on the iPad. I mean, obviously all this is caveated by a ton of different things, right? That we can go on about.
So,
but I think it's being marketed towards, going to be marketed towards people that are looking for an iPad.
And I would say that, I don't know. So I think a big part of the user experience on the iPad is the operating system and the promise that comes with the App Store and ecosystem. Yeah. And but what I mean by that is any program that I want to run, you know, on this kind of a device, it's going to be in the App Store and it's going to be at a reasonable price. And it's going to work well, and it's going to be designed for this user interface, right? And it's just kind of this seamless, I don't have to think about it, and it's a high-quality experience, right? Windows 8.1 on a small screen still is shit. It's shit. I'm sorry. It's shit. Like, even with a mouse, it's a shit experience.
Well, we know he's not going to be sponsoring this podcast anytime soon.
I have a Surface Pro 2,
yeah.
And I know that's, you know, you have the Surface Pro 3. It's a bigger screen.
It's a bigger screen, yeah.
But
well,
it's
still,
it's
and
really
I always
frustrating.
Have it, I always have it on a monitor anyway.
And that's with a mouse. And so to use that with my fingers, it's so unsatisfactory.
I will say I think they're betting big with Windows 10 with this. I think that's kind of like – because they're already saying like how you're – basically, the way that they're pitching this now already is a big piece of it is saying that, oh, you're going to get a free year of Windows 10.
Yeah.
But that's supposed to be better.
But here's still the big problem. By doing The idea was that it could be a tablet and a desktop, but I think it ended up being neither. I think it pissed off some desktop users,
yeah,
and it wasn't the tablet friendly enough. In my opinion, I think the Windows 8 start menu, that area, is maybe my favorite tablet OS. The snapping thing works really well, and it's the best version of multitasking that mm-hmm. I've seen on any device. Mm-hmm. Tiles are really cool, mm-hmm. but the problem is, okay, you both own Surface devices. I have a Windows 8.1 device. How many times have you guys gone into the Windows Store? And I mean the store, not downloading
the store is shit. Yeah.
And so that's the thing. There are no apps being made for Metro. It's all this or modern, whatever they want to call. So now you have a situation where, you know, you have this hybrid device, but nobody wants to use the tablet side as a tablet.
That's why they're getting rid of RT, though. Is because they.
But the thing is, as Windows 10, what is it going to alleviate? It's really just to pull back the desktop users. So right. I don't know, as a tablet, is it any better? The OS at its core, to me, is awesome, but there is no app ecosystem because no one wants to make anything for it. And I mean, it's even worse than Android, and Android has a really bad tablet situation.
Yeah, I think that's right on target, Sean. And until I mean, they have a lot of potential, right? But until they master that, then I'm not buying this device, and I'm not recommending that anybody buy this device. And I don't mean like personally, like users. I mean listeners, you can buy whatever you want, but I mean specifically, it's part
Josiah will come to your house.
I work for school systems in technology, and I recommend to them all the time, like, things that they should invest in, either software or hardware. And I'm not going to recommend this to any school that I work with. And if they're looking at it, I'm going to tell them all these caveats that because I think it's a kind of this weird hybrid device that hasn't been able to live up on its promise for three generations now. And so until they get their act together, I can't recommend it.
I think the 3 Pro is...
The Pro is a different situation. I'm talking about specifically Surface.
But I mean, I just want to reiterate, I genuinely think, I think iOS, in my opinion, on the iPad has rested on its laurels. I don't think people use it in a radically different way than they used the first iPad. And I think Android has done whatever.
I'm going to push back and say, you know, it doesn't look fresh and new and interesting, but to use it is a very good experience.
Well, to your point,
I can do everything I want.
It doesn't do anything different than what it did. The iPhone is fundamentally different from the iPhone 6, fundamentally in so many different ways, is different than the iPhone.
Yes or no? I mean, I'm going to push back. You don't use any of these devices regularly.
So what do you use differently?
It's not a matter of using it differently. Does it work well? And is it
every
not,
show from
it's,
now on?
It's not a frustrating experience.
Sure.
I use my Windows tablet, it's a frustrating experience because that OS is half baked because they mashed up the desktop and the tablet system. But when I use the iOS on my iPad, it's made for touch. I don't care that it's just basically a bigger iPhone. That doesn't matter. The operating system was designed with touch in mind, and it's easy to use, and it's functional, and it works.
Well, that's why I'm saying so. I think Apple rested on its laurels in that it kept it where it was, and it kept the experience good. The experience was always good. Well, maybe not the iPad
So who cares if they're resting on its laurels if it works better than everything else that's in its competition?
Because what I'm saying is the reason what disappointed me about Microsoft is because I genuinely think they made advancements that were better than everyone else. Forget Android for a second, because I don't think they've done much either.
Right now.
But the snapping Windows, it's the smartest way to do multitasking. And there's rumors that they're going to do windowed apps and stuff in iOS and Android. And then also, tiles are an interesting way to look at apps. It's all touch focused. But the thing is, nobody makes apps for it. And nobody makes apps for it. And it even, I mean, the whole design is fresh. Android now looks far completely different from iOS, but there was this feeling like it was trying in a weird way to ape iOS at the beginning. But Metro didn't feel like anything else. It was so unique. But the thing is, they haven't iterated enough to make it, like, I think they're still in the same place they were with Windows Phone 7. And that's why, so my point of saying all this is that it disappoints me because I think Microsoft did a lot right. But there's more than enough they did wrong that no one, it's like the Zune HD. Awesome device, but nobody cares about it because they did so many other things wrong that no one's ever going to try that thing.
You know,
it took them 3 iterations of the Surface Pro even to get something that
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. It's kind of like a...
I've owned every single Surface device that's been released at some point.
Yeah.
And I can say... the Surface 2 is okay, like, just as a tablet. But, I mean, again, you know, there's no apps for it. So it's like, outside of web browsing, like, there's really nothing to do with it. And Office, I guess. So, like, the Surface Pro 3, you know, it took them 3 years just to get the hardware down. Granted, that wasn't what they were doing. So, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, to both of your points, I think, you know, obviously I love the Metro or Tiles, whatever they're going with, you know, they're deciding to call it
Modern, I think they call it.
I love that. I think they are trying to do something different. But to Josiah's point, I think they just messed up in so many different areas. And like, it's not there. And I think without the ecosystem, I don't think it'll ever fully be there. And that's never going to come, which is why they're going back and making Windows 10 to not be that, you know, reliant on.
But to Sean's point, you know, what you just said, Windows 10, they've been talking about everything being how to bring back those desktop users and get enterprise to skip over 8.1 and go straight to 10, right? And skip over 9
for
apparently.
A free year. Yeah.
But it won't be free for enterprise, I'm sure. But,
right. Yeah.
But the issue that I have is, again, it's just a really, like, if you have to live with a Windows touchscreen device that's not a 13-inch or larger monitor screen size, it's incredibly frustrating. It's a junky, clunky system. And they really needed, I think, to go back and edit, right? Like, to borrow from kind of Tim Gunn, Project Runway, they just needed to edit, right? So sometimes, who cares if you have, like, this amazing design that's, like, eye-popping if you put 50 million buttons on it and you only needed 3, right? Yeah. Same thing.
You don't like the ribbon?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was good at, you know, green. You could have stopped with the ribbon and the buttons and the lapels. And so anyhow, you know, for them to try to – I think where they should have made good, better decisions about editing was why mash up desktop – and the tablet interface, it just doesn't work. You talk about snapping. When do you actually use snapping? Do you ever use that? You can talk conceptually about night and day, how awesome an idea and how innovative it is. But if you don't use it, it's a waste of time.
I use snapping all the time. I don't know. This is actually funny because it's coming from an OS X user, because you don't even have snapping on OS X, right? This is actually something I heard. We listened to The Verge. I remember somebody saying that. So Chromebooks have it, and they took it from Windows, who first introduced Aero Snap in Windows 7. I don't think Vista had it.
I use that all the time on the desktop.
You can do multiple instances. So if you want to watch like a YouTube video and, you know, browse the internet or something, or if you want to IM people, you know, be on that service and not have to switch out, just multitasking. And the point is, you're not creating 3 windows, 4 windows, you're creating 2 windows. So you're not doing too much, but it's enough to do something else. Heck, even music, although music controls are probably better in the other menu, but I use snapping all the time. If I on my computer, a lot of times I have 2 halves because I'll be reading one thing while doing something else, and I would
reading one thing while reading another.
Well, so a lot of times I'll have like
you don't need Audible, do you?
I'll watch a YouTube video, but I won't be like really watching, so I might be doing something else.
Yeah,
I totally use it.
Maybe I'm in the minority, and you know, listeners, you can talk about this on the blog.
Sound off in the comments.
Yeah, in the comments, but I don't know.
I think if you get it, because you have a different opinion, though. Because you, like you said before, you don't use any of these devices. Although I guess you use the Surface.
I use the Surface literally every day. Yeah.
You don't snap stuff on that?
I don't, because really? Because I find the touch interface and the, you know, the modern UI, I don't use any of those apps, right? So I'm always just using desktop. I'm just using
even
desktop.
Just like Chrome browsers, though, you don't snap? Like multiple, or you have a Chrome browser and a
that was one
Excel
of my favorite things.
I don't use the Snap. I just use the regular what you were calling Aero Snap, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
if you drag it to the top,
I mean. Yeah,
it
yeah.
fills up the screen. Right. And yeah, I do
right
that
left,
all
yeah.
the time. But the one with the black bar where you're sliding it in from the side, the Metro Snap.
Yeah.
I never use that. Is that what you're talking about?
Well,
you use that specifically.
So
that's because that's the innovation we're talking about, right? So let's be clear, because that's if we're talking about that, because the one you were just talking about came from Windows 7.
Yeah.
It came from Windows Vista, actually.
Yeah, so I don't get why is that a problem.
So that's not an innovation. You're here talking about how amazing
about
it
the
is.
Same thing.
The snap
that
you're talking about.
That.
Yeah, that's not innovative.
You know what's going to be funny, though?
Oh, caught him. Caught him. Got him.
Wait. Wait a couple years.
That'll do it for this week.
The multi-windows come out for iOS.
Wait for five years, snapping is going to be amazing and so innovative in 5 years, right? That's what you're saying.
Android copied that
around. I'll be surprised. All the Androids have. And if iOS comes out with multi-windows, I wonder if you're going to look at it
no,
a little bit.
On record, son. No, yeah, that's fine. You were talking about how innovative Windows
it was because Touch did it on a
Windows was the one to do it.
Fine, they took it from their own OS, but the thing is, the snapping, the point is, you can only snap two windows, but the idea for doing on a tablet OS that normally only does one program at a time, there's no Windows in a tablet interface. iOS doesn't have Windows. Android doesn't have Windows. That was a very desktop element. So they took it and put it into a tablet interface. So I do think that is an innovation.
Android already
took it. And by the way, I'm telling you, if they add it to iOS, I think you're going to think of
it. They're
going
to add it to iOS. I know they're
going
to add it to iOS.
And so then is it not going to be, I mean, it's not an innovation because somebody's already done it, but I don't think, I use snapping a lot, and I think if I had a tablet, I would like
that. Well, let's just be clear.
Like,
what do you use a lot, Sean? Do you use the AeroSnap from Windows 7 do you use specifically? Right. Exactly. Okay. End of story.
Android's
taken
it, though.
I never use the
if
new
they get multi-window
tablet
on
tablet.
An iPad. Will you use it?
No, because
you're not going to use it.
I use the Aeros.
No. If iOS gets multi-window support, are you going to use it?
That's not the conversation.
Oh, but it is.
No.
Oh, but it is.
This topic is about the Surface 3 and who's going to buy it. And my whole argument—I
already said people aren't going to buy it.
And my whole argument is that it's a confused platform because even though yes, they innovate with this snapping on a tablet, nobody uses the tablet snap. They use the desktop snap, right? Because they added both of these. That's what I'm asking people to sound off about. But Sean was making this point about how, yes, he uses Snap all the time. And as we talk about it, he doesn't use the tablet Snap. He uses a desktop
Snap. So what are you going to say if you use whatever they want to call it, snapping multi-windows in iOS in the future?
I'll use it because it will be...
What is the difference?
Talking about a device that has two different ways to snap. You can use the tablet snap or the desktop snap.
The tablet
and
right
I'm
now.
Saying
I think they should
if you have
them out.
One that works better, why have both? Just have the one that works the best.
Oh, no. I'm trying to separate out. I totally agree. And I said from the beginning that I don't like that they added desktop to RT. I wish they had a tablet interface. But my point is, I think as a tablet interface, I think Microsoft actually innovated in that. I think their tablet interface, forget the desktop,
yes, sure,
is
but,
better than
but
iOS.
That's the problem. That's the problem that I started with.
Yeah.
They needed to edit.
Sweet
they needed to edit out the desktop.
I wish
that was
RT,
a big mistake.
I wish RT did not have the desktop. Windows Mobile had the start menu on it. And I'm like, you're so stuck on this paradigm that you cannot get rid of it when you need to get rid of it. And
no,
I definitely
I am 100%.
All right, Sean, we both win.
Super fight.
My new goal, now that we ran out of super fight cards, it's just what topics do I come up with? You know what's funny? I thought it was going to be me arguing with both of you because it's always me defending Windows, but it turned out to be you guys.
The Unwind, a weekly show discussing tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture, is part of the Commentist Block Network. If you enjoyed this clip and want to hear more, please subscribe to The Unwind on iTunes or Stitcher, or listen on the website by going to theunwind.audio.